listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to State of the Art with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.
Yes, you are. And it's a countdown till Christmas.
It's a holly jolly Christmas.
Something like
Pinch
that.
Me. Yeah. Pinch me. They said
again?
I was a fool to dream. Yes, so it's so magical.
Pinching, you cost me money.
I told you that song, my favorite Christmas song by Loudon Wainwright. You know,
no.
I love Loudon Wainwright.
What is that?
III.
Yeah.
Suddenly it's Christmas.
Oh,
yeah. Suddenly it's Christmas right after Halloween. Forget about Thanksgiving. That's just the buffet in between. Yes. Christmas comes but once a year and goes on for 2 months. That's the way I feel about it. I love Christmas. Don't get me wrong.
I literally did not remember. But
this
great.
Particular Christmas is the only reason this one seems epic for me is because of doing a Christmas twist and working on that since June of this past year.
I know.
So I am Christmased out as far as my own life goes. But yet I'm still relishing Christmas things that I am not involved in. Does that make sense?
Absolutely not.
But
we'll get to
I'm
it.
Drunk and most of the time, Michael. I think you know that. You expect
that.
Me to be logical?
Right. Listen, first we'd like to thank our sponsor, Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent, agents, as well as actors when casting a project. And to learn more about Breakdown Express and Breakdown Services, go to BreakdownExpress.com.
We'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to our live arts calendar.
Paul, we are so pleased to have with us today two of the glorious stars of Christmas My Way, Sinatra's Holiday Bash at the historic El Portal Theater in North Hollywood.
Yes.
The first is a beautiful blonde who co-starred on Broadway as Tessie Tora.
Yes. She is lovely. I met her just a moment ago.
A balletic stripper.
Strikingly handsome one.
A balletic stripper she was in the musical fable Gypsy with Bernadette Peters. Miss Heather Lee is in the house.
She is here. She is. Later on, I'll tell her how I knew June Havoc. June Havoc in a little town that I grew up in.
See what you learn here on State
of
the Art?
It's my brush with gypsy greatness.
Yes, I would think so.
Also is Michael, the man himself, the other chairman of the board, who's doing it his way with Heather Lee and Broadway's Jason Graw and Beth Malone, both people we've had on as guests.
Indeed.
Lovely folks. On stage at the El Portal right now through December 31st, also known for starring as Frank Sinatra in the smash hit musical Hoboken to Hollywood. That was at the Edgemar, right?
Yeah. Edgemar, yes. Santa Monica. Yeah.
Yes, the one and only Luca Ellis is in the house.
Ah. Hi, everybody.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank
good,
you.
Good, good. Lovely to have both of you. Welcome to the show.
Absolutely,
welcome to
Heather.
The show.
Thank you. I know this is you have a show tonight, though, right?
We do.
You do. You're rocking it out. I went the other night to see it. We'll talk about that in a second.
Love to see it.
But before we get to our guest, Paul, you as you said, closed a Christmas twist
last weekend
at the Victory Theater, the Big Vic over there.
It was huge.
But
was
I hope
great.
You went out there looking, you know, for a Christmas tree and expensive presents for your wife. And,
yes,
well,
my lovely
myself.
Wife. I'm very lucky. I'm very lucky. My wife is not to the manor born in terms of belongings.
Really?
She's a hotel whore all day. She loves high-end hotels. That's her thing. High-end hotels, she goes for that. But as far as possessions, you know, items and materialistic things, she'll say, save the money, take me to a 5-star down the road sometime.
So you need to buy a hotel.
Need to buy a hotel.
Yeah
that's my dream. No, we got our tree. We put it up. It looks great.
Did you?
We do a Christmas open house every year for because L.A. is so many transplants. A lot of people come here from other places, and we have a lot of people that we know. That are sort of like stray pups. So we always do a Christmas open house with a lot of Italian food, and they come by and they eat and drink and are merry.
And I think I'll be one of those.
Yes, you will.
Stopping by to see you.
You've got
some other
gonna bring something,
to go.
Right?
I will. Someone.
You're going to bring something.
Something, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. What would you like?
Me to bring? I've prepared a list actually.
Fruitcake.
It gets pretty nutty around here, man.
How about you? How was your week?
My week was actually. A Be Nice to Michael week, and I did some things for myself, but in the interim, here's one of the things I did. I actually went to Toluca Lake to a couple places over there. I like to shop because I don't like to go to the shopping centers and whatnot at this time of year. And I, in my effort of walking down that street, I decided, I actually went to the car, put things away, and I left that particular area. Then I said, damn, I meant to go back to make a donation to the American Cancer Society.
Okay.
Because they have a shop there that mm-hmm. is full of knickknacks and
like consignment, and
yeah,
some
exactly,
of the money goes
right.
to that.
And, okay. And it's a very nice shop. Have you been?
It's next to Trader Joe's.
Yes, Trader Joe's. Yes, yes. So well, you know where that is over there in Toluca Lake. I went in. I literally made a donation. I walked out, and I had parked. Now remember, I left and came back.
Right.
Parked. And I got back to the car, and there was a ticket on my car.
Aww.
And the guy was sitting in his car, the meter man,
yeah.
Eating and texting. And I said, excuse me, sir. I said, did you put this on my car? I said, I've been gone all of about, you know, a minute and a half. Huh. He said, yes, I did. I said, really? In the Christmas spirit, you put this ticket. How much is this ticket going to cost? He said, why don't you open it up and find out? It was, you know, one of those guys. Yeah.
Hmm.
And I said, why don't you tell me since you gave it to me? He said, oh. And he looks at it, $73.
Why, though? What was it, the meter? What was it?
No, it was because it was a sign that about a foot into my car was about a foot into this sign where it was restricted parking. No chance of parking there. But everything behind me was available for parking on the street.
Right.
Well, see, you made two donations.
I did.
One to the city of Los Angeles.
Oh, jeez. You know.
Yes, indeed. If they need another donation.
I won't be long about this, but I'll tell you one thing. When I worked at the Glasscott's in Chicago, it was a bar when I was about 20 years ago when I worked in Chicago, there was a cop who used to sit in the window of Glasscott's bar, and there was a Starbucks across the street, and there was a little area by a fire hydrant that people would go up. They'd put their flashers on, they'd run in, they'd get coffee, they'd come out. He would sit in our place and fill out an entire book of tickets with everything but the license plate number on it, and all day long just walk across the street, put it in. They were barely in the place before he was on his way. I'm just like, this is really what you have to do all day, 5 days a week. This is just, you know, just making money for the city.
Yeah.
That's it.
To
make money for sitting.
And I think I'm actually going to contest this. I never get like that, but I didn't like his attitude. I didn't like the $73 price tag that I came with.
It's ridiculous.
So
on to nicer things.
Yes.
Let's talk about nicer things. As Michael said, our first guest co-starred on Broadway with Bernadette Peters in the 2003 revival of Gypsy. She also originated the role of Babette in the first U.S. national tour of Disney's Beauty and the Beast. She made her Broadway debut in Guys and Dolls and has been an active force in Los Angeles theater such as The Wiz, Elmer Gantry, Of Thee I Sing with Gregory Harrison, who I just did a movie of the week with last year, I'll have you
did
know.
Did you?
Yes,
nice.
He's a very nice man.
Nice.
She's on stage now in the Sinatra Holiday Bash, Christmas My Way, at the lovely El Portal Theater in North Hollywood. Please welcome Miss Heather Lee.
Hello, Heather.
Don't get up.
How are you?
Good.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
It's kind of nice to be toasty, and the temperature in the studio is nice because it's freezing everywhere else.
It is.
It is very cold.
I have a scarf. Dangerous. If anyone's cold, I have a scarf. Do you have one?
You have your own?
I do.
I don't have one. So
you should. You're a fop. You're very foppish. You should have a scarf. So
what I put up with. Right? I don't know.
You could just tell me to go fop myself, Michael.
There you go.
Yes, I'm sorry. I should revive my own, shouldn't I? Heather, for the listeners, Christmas My Way, a review. Is there a narrative? Is there a tale? Is it what can folks expect when they go?
That's a good question. It's four performers. Luca and I and Beth Malone and Jason Graw and an amazing three-piece band.
Just three pieces, huh?
Yes, but they sound like 12.
Triple that, triple that.
And it's all music that Frank Sinatra recorded. We don't sing it like Frank Sinatra, except for Luca sings a little bit like Frank Sinatra. But so it's all, a lot of it is Christmas music, and a lot of it are standards. And there is a lot of patter in between the things. It's a very Rat Packy kind of feeling, a very almost like an early 60s television special.
Right, like the pre-Beatles 60s kind of. Gotcha.
Andy Williams.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I don't know if Frank ever did any Christmas specials, but.
Oh, he must have.
So it has a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It's very fun. It's a great fun evening. And great singing, you know, and great arrangements. Our musical director, Vince DeMura, is
awesome.
An awesome. Yeah. I can't come up with the, you know, all the adjectives to.
I noticed something that when I saw the show, excuse me for interrupting you, when I saw the show, I went to the opening, Paul. And
when did it open?
The 15th.
Oh, okay.
And
find my information here.
The thing that I noticed that you ladies did during the show with your musical director was you took his hair, his beautiful long hair, and you kind of placed it in a different position.
That was very spontaneous. That
it was about two of you did it. You each did it.
Vince has beautiful long locks.
Yes, he does.
Much more beautiful than any of ours, and and when he plays, he has a bit of a
sightline problem.
Maybe, yeah. So yes, Beth was the first one I think to get up there and pull his hair back. And
well, he makes that orchestra cook, that band cook, and it sounds like
they're
an orchestra.
Amazing.
That's for sure.
And he's he's a jazz pianist, and it's a lot of it's different every night because he really is improvisational in his.
And what about you all? Are you somewhat improvisational? Because when you're working with Jason Brown,
I guess
you have.
I mean, but seriously,
you?
If the band is like that, don't you have to be as a vocalist? Because you have to sort of.
Well, vocally speaking, but I'm saying the whole essence of what she was describing was the show, because Jason Brown is in it, and we know Jason's a funny, funny man, and he kind of flies by the seat of his pants often and says whatever is crossing his mind at that moment in time. And then you've got Beth Malone, who's lovely. And
who's a real wallflower, yeah.
Oh, no, you know what? After the show, I told her, I said, I have two words for you. Super sexy. Wow. Well, was she amazing in that
hot.
Show? She is darn hot. Yeah, she is. And a fantastic singer like Heather is in the voice.
She sings
I'm intrigued at the idea of just three pieces, though, because I always think of, like, whenever I hear that, I always think of Buddy Holly and the Crickets, because when Buddy Holly and the Crickets hit, everyone was just like, you know, well, bring your band. It's like, there's only two people. It's like, how can you get that sound out of three people? But it just goes to show, it just matters who the three people are. So you said jazz.
And the charts.
We do a lot of four-part, really tight harmonies, a very full sound.
Enriches it, yeah.
And you know what I was very impressed by, actually, was the set design by Bruce Goodrich. And
gorgeous.
It is gorgeous, isn't it? And Paul, it's gorgeous, you know, to look at it as a big picture, and then there are...
Is this in the big room at the El Portal, the main stage?
This is in the main stage, yeah. Okay. And then there's a section that's off to the stage left, the performance stage left, that is like a nightclub kind of a booth, if you will, and a table, and there's the main part of the set. Which is steps up and beautiful decorations and Christmas trees and bulbs, huge giant bulbs coming down from the, being flown down, and beautiful lighting. And then on the other side is a bar.
Really?
You got to have a bar in a Sinatra show.
Of course,
right?
You do. It's sort of a
we
given.
We spend most of our time there.
Yeah. Yes, they do. They
you might as well have fun when you perform. You know?
And there's several cocktails poured during the evening. Oh. Or so it were, to appear as cocktails.
Yes.
But it's a nice, area in which they work, and it kind of changes. Then you see these little tableaus going on, and it's a super
is beautiful.
Evening.
The
it
costumes
is, yeah.
are beautiful.
Sounds.
It's like a big present.
Yeah, it sounds like a very elegant. I love that time.
It's
I love that whole period.
And it's fun.
Yeah.
It's not stuffy.
It sounds.
It's the opposite of stuffy.
I love the fact that it's not completely Christmas music.
Right.
It's infused with some of, you know, Frank's
great
hits.
Yeah.
And so that's very nice. It's a nice kind of break from it. Because, you know, I think at Christmas, well, starting it before Thanksgiving this year, I think it's even earlier than ever, you know, we're just inundated with the Christmas music. So by the time Christmas rolls around, you're like, how much more can I take? But
yeah. No, I'm looking through the song list here. I'm looking through the song
Lovely.
List and the promotional material you gave me, and with Night and Day, Chicago, Come Fly with Me, and sort of interspersed with these other things, which is just it's actually a great way to do it. And you don't see that. A good point that you made. You don't see that very much with holiday offerings. It's either full tilt Christmas,
right,
or
exactly.
It's not holiday themed at all. So that's a nice book. I love that time. I love that time period.
You need to come and see
Vegas,
the show.
The look. Where people dressed to get on planes.
Yes.
I just love that
sense
of, you know, and it wasn't like highfalutin. It wasn't like showy. It was just like, this is how we are. You know, tuxedos in Vegas, that whole, one of the things I love to watch just of that time was actually a little later, but all of those, like the Dean Martin roasts, and it was sort of the tail end of those all those performers that actually came from the lounges in Vegas, not the main stages, but the lounges, where it was far more catchy, you know, easygoing, casual, with what this sounds is sort of like a looseness to it.
There is. It is certain parts are scripted, but we hope that it seems that it's off the cuff.
And is your kind of tipsy character that you play throughout, is that...
You weren't supposed to bring that up, Michael. She asked us specifically before we went on the air to not bring that up. Oh, she's working on it, okay?
You know, there were just some references in the material that, you know, she was, you know, we call each other by our own names, so it's hard to say that we're characters, but we are a bit of characters of ourselves.
Yeah, right.
Stylized. Yes, exactly.
Right. How many more could we have?
Yes,
stylized.
And I must say, clothes, costumes, my goodness, especially for the women, gorgeous stuff.
This is Jean Barnhart is the name of the costume.
Yes, well,
she did a lovely job.
She should be definitely commended for her work with the ladies and the gents. I mean, they look fantastic, but your stuff in particular, Beth's, was, you know, sleek. Yours was like very... very elegant in a very, as Paul said, a very kind of fashionable way from another time period, but so worked.
Right. Well, in the first act, I think that Beth and I are representing 1959 to 1961, because she's like crossed over. She's in the straight line, you know, at sequins, and I'm in it more of a puffy skirt, very late 50s.
Yeah.
But they're beautiful. We all look beautiful. Yes, even the gentlemen, especially the gentlemen.
The gents do. They do.
Before we continue,
I'm so glad
I'm
sorry, Jason Grauer. He was sporting a mustache for a long time, and I'm kind of glad he shaved it off for this show.
I'll tell him you said it.
Were you not like a fan of the mustache, man?
Not a... Jason wore it differently than most men would.
That's a very diplomatic way to phrase it.
I have to be careful about it.
He wore it differently.
Yes,
he
handsome.
What was it on his forehead? How do you wear a mustache differently? My brother had a mustache for years. He shaved it.
Looked a little Hitler-like.
My brother looked like, you know, Ron Jeremy. For those that would like to know, which this is December through December 31st.
That's it.
And this is at the El Portal. Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays at 8. And there's matinees both Saturday and Sundays at 3. To order tickets online, this, of course, is at the El Portal Theater. To order online, it's elportaltheater.com. Theater has the R-E spelling, elportaltheater.com. Or you can call 818-508-4200. That's 818-508-4200. And, of course, we're talking about a Sinatra Holiday Bash, Christmas My Way, which we'll put this information out there again a couple of times the end of the hour.
More with Heather here, because you come from an amazing theater background. Did you always know that you wanted to be in theater? I mean, you must have sung most of your life, I would imagine, right?
Yeah, I knew all along. I did.
You said, this is what I want, I'm going for it?
Yes, I grew up, my father had he was a children's show host and a puppeteer in Minneapolis. And so I grew up around puppets and performing, and my parents would do a Christmas show every year. So as a very young child, I was on the show, and
voluntarily,
just,
or were you corralled into it?
But just, it was just sort of our family, you know, just the three of us. But you know, so very early on, I was exposed to a lot of movie musicals and a lot of music. My father was very into music, and he was a newscaster and on radio and everything, and my mother had a children's show as well, and so, you know, I was just around it.
It was in your
from
blood.
The very beginning, and I knew right away that that's what I wanted to do.
And when did you, now you were born where?
I was born in Minneapolis.
Minneapolis, and when did you trek to New York?
Well, we moved to Colorado, and then I went to college in San Diego, and then I came to Los Angeles, and then I went to New York, and then back to L.A., and then I go back to New York. I sort of, wherever there is work, I tend to go there.
Yeah.
Well, you certainly have...
And is this home now? Is L.A. home now?
Yeah, this is my home base.
But she's married to one of the nicest men in the world, too, who's a very talented gentleman.
Yes,
he is. He's a good-looking man, and he is in an unusual business, which I think, I mean, he started out as an actor, surely, with that look, right?
Yes, he was had a big television career, and then he went through a change of career and went back to school and became a landscape design architect.
Oh, wow. And isn't that cool?
And he actually has a company with Jason Gross. Partner Glenn, is my husband's business partner.
Oh, wow.
So they have kind of plugged their company now, Inside Out Design Landscape. And
is there a website attached to that?
There is.
What is it?
www.insideoutdesignlandscape.com.
And we'll throw that out there again before the end of the hour.
Now do the applause thing.
I got it here somewhere. I should be right more at the ready with it.
I'm just going to be calling in some favors.
Something out there. That's all I got. I got five sounds, Michael. That's all I got.
I know. Yeah. So you went to New York and you made your debut in Guys and Dolls.
I did, yes.
And you actually, didn't you go on as Adelaide
at
some point?
I did the national tour, and then I was moved to the Broadway company, and I was the understudy for both Adelaide and Sarah.
Oh, wow.
And I did go on for both roles, and that was my Broadway debut.
Well,
so that was great.
I hear that, I always have to ask this because you mentioned earlier how young you were when you got when you first were performing, and I'm always envious of people like that, like you that perform so young, because it has to make you, has to give you a confidence on stage that people who perform later have to cultivate over time. If you're young and you're doing it, it's sort of, I mean, I would think that you would be fairly brave as a young person on stage if you did it when you were younger.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't become a professional actor until my 20s, but, I did a lot of community theater and, performed in high school and,
But I'm always curious about when you mentioned the understudying just now, I wouldn't want to, just because of myself and my own, I suffered from bouts of stage fright for years until I conquered it. One-person show, autobiographical one-person show will cure you of stage fright very quickly. How is that to cope with? Just even though you had done the national tour, I mean, do you go into that with a comfort? Is it as nerve-wracking as it sounds, as it would sound to layman to go up there in the understudy role?
Understudying is a very, very difficult position, and the people that do it are amazing. I think it's a very, very difficult. I learned a lot, but it's not something that I necessarily would want to do again.
Yeah, it's just
because it's. And people that swing a show that do like all of the ensemble tracks, like cover, it's an amazing task.
Yeah, it is. It's
it
like
takes
stacking
a very
your thoughts.
Special talent.
Yeah.
To do that, mm-hmm. I could not do that. But understudying the two lead roles, that was quite a challenge because they're so completely different.
Right.
And when you did go on in those roles, did you know in advance that you were, or was it something that perhaps happened last
minute? Sometimes you would know in advance. Like I knew that, someone was taking a vacation or something,
right.
So you would know in advance. Some days. One day I remember when I was out on the tour, I'd left my hotel early to run some errands, and it was a matinee, and I, for some reason, walked in through the lobby that day because I'd never seen the front of the theater, and I walked in, and I saw my name on the...
The
role of Adelaide will be played and I didn't know, and it was half hour because I would have gotten there earlier if I'd, and so I was like, I'm
say
on
that
today.
Again. Say that again, Heather. Say it the way you just said it.
The role of Adelaide.
The role of Miss Adelaide will be played by Heather Lee. So anyway, yes, it can be a challenge, and it can be very exciting, and your adrenaline gets you through when you're...
If that were me, it would be like, and the role of Adelaide, and because I would have fainted at that point, I would have been able to read the whole slide.
Well, I'd been on several times before, but just the fact that I found out not by someone calling me and saying, yeah, you're on today, but, you know, I found out when the audience was finding out.
Oh. Lainey Kazan was with us on a show, and on one of our shows here, and she told of her story, you know, when she went on for Barbara Streisand. And in Funny Girl, she was her understudy, and hilarious it was, because the
one show in the whole however many years she was doing Barbara Streisand, one performance.
Yeah.
And so Lainey told,
and even that was structured. That was like for her. That was not because Barbara was actually sick, was it?
Yes, it was.
Oh, it was.
Yes, it was.
Okay.
And Lainey told her mother, who in then turn told hundreds of friends, right, and boom, they all bought tickets and went. And then Barbara decided she was going to do the show. So Lainey did not go on, and all these people were there to see Lainey, but they saw Barbara instead. But then it happened again, and actually Lainey went on, and that's the rest is history.
Oh, that's right.
Her career.
She was told not to tell anybody.
That's correct.
But her mother was not told not to tell.
Correct. That's right. But she got a big career out of that second shot. So, and you heard what happened to Rachel York, right, and Eric Bergen last week in Anything Goes?
Yes. I saw the show this week. Actually went Tuesday night to see it, and they were both back in.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, she was sick, and then Eric Bergen, her tendon or something?
He ran into a set piece, a pretty heavy-duty set piece, and they had to bring down the curtain for, 45 minutes?
I don't know.
Yeah,
but
I think it was she had gotten sick during the first act, and that's when they had to bring down the curtain for quite a while for her understudy to jump out of the ensemble and into the role, and ditto Eric Bergen. Same thing happened. So,
man, the show must go on. Wouldn't have been me. If I was the understudy, I would have quit just then.
Oh. Well, I'm going to plug our understudies, because we have two great understudies for Christmas My Way, Miss Jane Cook and Mr. Spencer Rowe. And
Spencer.
They're both
terrific.
He was a
very nice man.
Yeah. And, you know, they may get to go on. You never know.
But I think what you said earlier is very valid, which is it's a completely different skill set to be an understudy. I think that performing is actually far easier than being an understudy, because you have those things to rely on. You know you're only going to do one thing. You don't have to, especially the swings that you mentioned. But let's jump to our
arts calendar, though, Paul.
We'll do the arts calendar, and then we'll throw the information out speak to Luca. A puppet show for adults. Yep, and it's backed by Popular Man. But be forewarned, they may look like cuddly little Muppets wonderfully crafted by the Henson Workshop, but they have a wicked sense of humor. Created by Brian Henson and Patrick Bristow, no two performances are alike. Host Bristow and six superb comedians / puppeteers improvise on suggestions from the audience to create a one-of-a-kind show that can be enjoyed two different ways. Watch the action on stage or view the live puppet feed projected on screens overhead. Oh, that sounds like a blast.
Doesn't it?
It's double the fun. Each show also features recreations of a couple of Jim Henson classics that first aired on The Ed Sullivan Show and launched the Henson phenomenon, opening December 28th at the Irvine Barclay Theater, 4242 Campus Drive in Irvine. This holiday Henson alternative titled Stuffed and Unstrung will be presented for four performances only, including a special New Year's Eve show on December 31st at 7, which ends with a live telecast from Times Square, humorously counted down to midnight by Henson's fabulous felt friends. For a lot of alliteration in this one. For tickets and further information, visit www.barclay.org or call 949-854-4646. We have a puppet theme today. That sounds really fascinating.
Yes,
I'd be
indeed.
All over that. I'm a big one for puppets, you know.
I am so...
Did you know you're doing your Brenda Vaccaro.
Excuse me. Sorry about that.
You okay there?
It's this... Yeah, I had to actually go to the doctor for this. So.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
I say that.
But it's not a big deal.
Okay.
But, ladies and gentlemen, what Paul was just reading about, an amazing show, and to find out more about that and other things that are going on in town, we urge you to go to performingartslive.com, where they have listings throughout all of Southern California. So
every day of the week.
Absolutely.
Every day of the week.
Paul, as mentioned earlier, our next guest starred as Frank Sinatra in the 2010 hit musical Hoboken to Hollywood at the Edgemar Center for the Arts in Santa Monica, California, and received rave reviews. With his movie star good looks and a voice as rich as that of the famous blue-eyed crooner, he has performed at the Las Vegas Hilton and played Sinatra in Sandy Hackett's Rat Packet Show. Rat Packet, Rat Packet.
Sandy Hackett's Rat Packet. Yes.
Sandy
Five rats to a packet. Yes.
I think that's Buddy Pack. Buddy Hackett's
Rat Pack. Buddy Pack.
It's actually Sandy.
No, Sandy. Yeah, Sandy's Buddy's son.
No,
yeah, that's his son. Yeah, yeah. Sandy.
Oh, the other one.
It's a joke.
Oh, got it.
Keep up, Michael.
Hello. There you go.
Back up.
Thank you.
Michael needs a cue sometimes.
Thank you. He is currently on stage again as Frank in the Sinatra Holiday Bash Christmas My Way at North Hollywood's El Portal Theater. Once again, Luca Ellis. Yeah, I knew there was a little bad boy in you, right?
No, you know, it's not as Frank, though. I'm just playing myself.
Yeah,
I'm like channeling a little Frank.
You don't do a full-on impersonation of him. You are. The essence of Mr. Sinatra.
It's more a style. It's
swagger.
It's a swagger.
It's
a style. It's a swagger. It's a theme. It's a look. It's a feel.
Yeah.
How many more you need?
Yeah, I don't know. But I can keep going. So well.
I have a thesaurus right here.
Do you?
Yes.
Why does that not surprise me? No, he does this very well, and he's very cool. Very cool, man. Right?
As
Frank was. Right?
Well, you gotta know what you're doing up there for sure, and believe in what you're doing fully,
right?
To, you know, how would you sell a car if you didn't believe in the car that you're selling, right?
That would be correct.
You know, it raises an interesting point, though, because you hear you had done Hoboken to Hollywood, which is more Sinatra-centric, and then this is just sort of something that is more along that, like you said, the Rat Pack style, that early 60s thing. How do you keep from lapsing into full-out Sinatra when you're doing this?
Well, so, they're two very different shows. Yeah. Hoboken to Hollywood was recreating a taping of a TV special in the mid-60s. And, of course, very much influenced by Frank Sinatra, Man and His Music,
right,
which came out right around the same time. You know, celebrating the American Songbook and celebrating television and the whole era. This one's more of a, you know, oh, how'd all these people get in my room type of a situation. You know, it's our living room, and they're visiting us, and we're just entertaining our guests, and we're friends, and we didn't know each other. I didn't know the three. You guys knew each other pretty well when we first started this thing, but now they're friends, mm-hmm. You know, and we take that every night when we perform. We do that, and we play off of each other, and we're always supporting each other, even when we're not necessarily in the spotlight. Yeah. We're like winking or, you know, telling
drinking.
That was awesome.
Drinking.
Or like,
oh,
hey,
the bar's right on stage. I mean, after all.
Make me a drink. Yeah.
Of course, it's not really liquor on the bar, is?
No.
Says who? No, I'm kidding. No, it's ice. You know, what is it? Apple juice? Apple juice.
Oh, is that what they're calling it now?
Apple juice.
Oh,
okay. Yes. They call it. Yes. But, you know, that's really up to the audience. You know, I know they're drinking in the lobby. Why wouldn't we be drinking on stage?
Exactly.
It's more casual, you know?
Okay, but so we talked about Jason Groh earlier. So what is it like to work with this guy? Because could be a little bit of a wild card sometimes, right?
In a very fun way. That's the beauty of him is that, and the respect that he gets from me is that he is that flexible.
Right.
And obviously Beth Malone as well, and Heather Lee. I mean, playing off of each other every night, it's really that's the thing that the audience can't necessarily put their finger on, is like, what is making this so good? Because honestly, the jokes are okay, right? It's the people telling the jokes and telling the stories.
It's from a period too.
Absolutely. And it's the camaraderie, you know, because it's a group effort.
They are paired together.
Oh, okay.
And then Jason and Beth.
Well, we bounce back and forth.
We switch partners a lot.
They're swingers.
We're swinging the whole night.
It's a Christmas swing. Bring that up.
Because pretty much I, Jason and I are in this first act together a lot.
Yeah.
And then Luca and I are in the second act together. And then Beth and I are together a little bit.
Oh, so it's one of those shows.
Well, those shows. Yeah.
Well, no that problem. Is definitely Christmas My Way, I should say. Heather... Lucas said that you just friends, or had you worked with Beth and Jason before? You've done shows with them before.
I have worked with both of them before, and we are the best of friends,
the three of us.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, and now Luca has
In fact, they kind of run in packs, actually.
Whenever
I see them, or they're at my nightclub,
we are our own rat pack.
You are.
I think that made it easier, though, too, to for one guy to kind of slip into a pre-existing bond that these people have. You know?
We hazed him and stuff.
Now, I had the pleasure of meeting... I believe it was your wife.
Fiance.
Your fiance.
Wife-to-be,
soon
yes.
to be wife. What
yes.
a lovely,
beautiful,
beautiful, to say
inside
the least.
And out. Yeah, Anna Mijol, amazing jazz vocalist as
really?
Well.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Very pretty poem. Very classy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just the kind of woman you'd expect, I think, you to be with. Actually.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
Typecast.
You're classy.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's just hair gel, buddy. That's all.
And a jazz vocalist, you said?
Well, if that's all it takes.
She's a jazz vocalist, yeah.
Okay.
So two jazz singers getting together in this day and age is kind of like two dinosaurs finding each other.
Ah, you know. But yes, but the affection for the art. Does she have a website or an album or something?
AnnaMijol.com.
Oh, you're gonna have to spell that.
Yeah, Anna A-N-N-A. Mijol is MJOLL, but it's you know, she's from Iceland, so the O has two dots.
Therefore, your hat.
My hat.
But the website doesn't require dots, does it?
No.
Okay, I was gonna say because I've never
just
seen
MJOLL.com. Yeah, AnnaMijol.com.
You're gonna have. I mean, at the end of the show.
She has a couple of CDs out. You know, a Christmas CD.
Nice.
You know, and that kind of a thing. Her dad was a famous Icelandic guitarist, like just adored and loved. Probably one of the greatest guitarists. Out of Iceland.
Oh, and wow. So she grew up with it, too.
She grew up with her mother hosts radio. She does talk radio as well, you know, musically based.
She's probably listening to us right now.
She may be.
Because we're heard in Iceland.
We are. Yeah. We're heard everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, all over the world. It's amazing what the Internet's done. Huh?
Really? I wouldn't think that all of this talent would be coming out of Iceland necessarily, but it's kind of nice to know that it is.
Yeah, and, you know, and if... It seems to be an affinity for, you know, jazz, for the American Songbook, too. I mean, there's some people into that.
And how
you know,
did you?
They like it.
How did you meet?
I was singing at Vibrato at Herb Albert's place, and Pat Senator, the musical director, entertainment director there, asked her to come in and have a listen. He just said, you really got to hear this guy.
Do you think he was trying to fix you up?
I don't know if he was, but he seems to... He has a very proud look on his face now. Every time he sees the two of us, he gives me the thumbs up. You know, yeah, you're holding on, buddy.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that was in March.
So this is a new relationship.
It's new, yeah, but it feels like we've known each other for
a lifetime. If you're
as all good relationships are.
Yeah, you know, it's just easy, effortless.
Yeah.
And attraction, of course, is ridiculous.
Now,
do you
both live locally still?
I'm sorry.
But
we're LA based.
You're
LA-based
as well?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely home now. I mean, once you live here, it's kind of. I wouldn't mind spending a few years in New York. You know, just getting that under my skin.
I always think the same thing about New York. When I have lived there, I've been lucky enough to live on someone else's dime. So I will live in New York all the time if someone else is paying for it.
Me too.
You know, I think to enjoy
New York, you got to have money.
Yeah.
I think for
sure.
You but LA has been so good to me, and I love her first. I mean, she's my lady.
I was going to say, bring that up. Actually.
And let's not overlook Chicago, though. Chicago's a wonderful
Chicago's
city.
Chicago's the most underrated city.
I love Chicago.
What about
Chicago?
Kalamazoo?
Kalamazoo, where I was born.
Kalamazoo. Yeah.
Kalamazoo.
Yes. Yeah.
I did a show.
Michigan.
I did a show.
Minnesota. Cool. See, Midwesterners. We're corn-fed and raised.
I did a show.
So we do well together.
I have to tell you this about Kalamazoo. I did a show when I was in Chicago, lived in Chicago, and we had a AIDS awareness show called The Wizard of AIDS, which was teaching college kids and high school kids about modes of transmission and how to keep yourself safe and all these safe sex practices. And it won all these awards, and it was a great thing.
Was the Tin Man somehow part of that?
Well, I was a scarecrow.
Impervious.
Impervious. Well, actually, that was a joke. But we did Kalamazoo, and one person protested. One person protested. Everyone really received it well, and one person had a little picket sign, and they had a sign that said, "The PTA is making your daughter a whore." That's what the sign said.
Oh my!
But on the back of it, crossed out, it said, "Repeal the seatbelt law."
So she was actually reusing a placard from an earlier thing.
That's
very green.
Yes. Repeal the seatbelt law. Oh, I could use this over again. I'll cross that out. But I only say that because Kalamazoo received the show. They loved the show. We had a great talk back afterwards. We would do it once for parents.
Right.
And then if the parents approved the show, the parents would sort of approve the age group that the show would be played to. So after they would see it, we knew if we were playing either the college or the high school, depending on how it was received. But
nice.
It was a lovely place. They were very kind to us.
Yeah, nice
place.
People.
Good place, Kalamazoo.
So when did you know that you had this gift of what you do so very well? And when did it come into being with the Sinatra thing in mind?
Well, I started listening to Frank about, I'd say, 8 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it was initially Diana Krall. Somebody gave me a Diana Krall CD that got me interested in the genre. But the very first exposure was Dean Martin. When I was 7, I saw Bells Are Ringing, thanks to my mom. She had the LP. And I learned the whole soundtrack. That
we should say long playing record.
Long playing record.
For
people that don't know what that is.
Yes. Oh, we remember.
But Frank, yeah, I didn't know it was a baritone until I started listening to Sinatra. And I found that it was that sweet spot, even for my voice. Every key that I sing these songs in are Frank's keys. And so it was very easy to listen and learn from him and to learn to sing in your speaking voice.
Mm-hmm.
Because then that just gives you a certain longevity, consistency that you don't get, you know, if you go into like your throat voice a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Frank never did the falsettos.
Right.
So he could hit in the morning. He might even sound better in the morning just because he was, you know, using a speaking voice. If you can talk, you can sing.
Right.
That's the bottom line.
Right.
And then that frees you up to do, you know, really sing the melody and... Then it becomes about the phrasing,
right? Which was that was it. Just what he added.
But the best phrasing in the business, I think, really.
Oh, I think so. And diction too. I mean, you really understood every lyric, and when you understand the words, you have a tendency to really listen to what the song is about.
Right. I had the pleasure to meet him a couple times. The foundation of my business is public relations and production, but PR. And I was.
You've been doing a hell of a job, by the way.
On this show?
Yeah.
Well,
glad to be here.
Well, we're happy to have you.
Gem of a show.
We're happy to hear. Have you here. But with Mr. Sinatra in San Francisco, my client was David Brenner, and he opened for Frank. And Frank and he had never met. Frank was just a fan of David, so he had requested him opening at the San Francisco Opera House. And it was very exciting. And we went there, and... the place was sold out. It was a big gala. And I was in David's dressing room, and I said, David, now look. I said, you know, the meeting's going to happen, and it may just be between you two. But, brother, I'm telling you, if you don't take me along in this, after all the work I've done for you, I said, I'll never forgive you. And they came to get David, and it was going to be just... And I was just heartbroken. But I walked David to Frank's dressing room, and then Frank's guys opened the door, and David went in. However, when David came out, so did Frank. And I guess David said something to him about me, and Frank grabbed me and went, "Hey, kid, it's nice to know you," or some silly thing like that. Which, you know, of course, was perfect for me. And then I stood in the wings with David when Frank was doing his set. And we watched the man perform, and it was just unbelievable.
Right.
And then Rosemary Clooney, who was my mentor in my lifetime musically, and my dear friend until the day she died, and to whom I have dedicated my supper club, Sterling's upstairs at the Federal, across the street from the El Portal, I had the pleasure of meeting him in a more casual circumstance with her. So it was totally amazing, cool, wonderful. Yeah.
That's one of those things. Yeah, there's certain people, it's like five of them I really would have killed to see live. And obviously, Sinatra is being the top. I would have loved to have seen Elvis. I would have loved to have seen Janis perform live because I heard that was amazing. And actually, Otis Redding. Everyone who saw Otis Redding perform live says that there was just one of the most magnetic onstage personas.
I'm sure.
But Sinatra tops the bill on that one.
Well... you know,
but you know what we have to do. It's that time, Mike.
Well, we do, but before we do that, we're going to tell people how they can certainly see Luca.
Shall I? Do you have it, or should I?
You can take it.
I can go ahead. This is, of course, the Sinatra Holiday Bash, Christmas My Way. It's playing at the El Portal Theater, great friends of ours, and they do wonderful work there. I also love that big room. What a great room to be in for Christmas.
The main stage, yeah. It's
like
personal,
with their marquee
the right
outside
thing.
And yeah. That room, it's just got such a festive feel to it. Love that space. ElPortalTheater.com is where you get tickets. That's Theater RE. Or you could call 818-508-4200. That's 818-508-4200. This show is going through December 31st, so a great thing if you got family in for the holidays or something. It sounds like the perfect thing. Appeals to a great broad spectrum of audience. And that's Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays at 8. And there are two matinees, which is another thing makes it good for those family shows. 4 o'clock, not only on Saturdays, but on Sundays as well. Oh, sorry, 3 o'clock. Thank you. The reschedule is 3 at Saturday and Sunday. Yes, am I right?
We also have a Facebook page just dedicated to the show, Christmas My Way, which has production shots that you can see what we look like
nice.
In our costumes.
Oh, okay, cool.
And the set. And also, we have two shows on Christmas Eve. So we're going through Christmas Eve, which is actually next Monday.
Oh, gotcha.
So just
okay.
be aware that if you guys, if anybody wants to come before, there's a 4 o'clock show, so then you could go have your other party, or you could come to the late show, which is at 9, and we're going to bring in the new year.
Okay, cool. And I'm sure
Christmas Eve.
You mean New Year's
Eve. I'm sorry. New Year's
Eve. Yeah. I was about to say, whoa, I'm not working Christmas.
But the other thing, too, is that people should know, and thank you for bringing that up, but people can all go to ElPortalTheater.com, and I'm sure the schedule is all there.
It is.
And they can pick and choose.
It is, indeed.
Pick
but,
and
you know,
choose.
People do get up out of your homes there and give yourselves a break from the hustle and bustle of the holiday and go out and see these magnificent performers. And I mean that truly. All of them are so hugely gifted and in a beautiful production that will take you back.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. Yeah. Another great thing about that area is one of the few areas in town, and this is so important in L.A., you can park once. There's restaurants to walk to. There's things to do. And that is
a little
invaluable
bit of New York.
In this town.
A little bit of New York.
A little bit of New York and NoHo.
That's
right. You can take the subway.
Yes.
That's right.
Mm.
That's adjacent to the...
I live in Tarzana. Love that Orange Line. Take it right in there. And I get really hammered at Sterling's upstairs at the Federal, and I'm safe. I don't have to drive.
That's right.
We
carry you to your special place.
My
there,
special
don't we?
Place. Backstage. We got 3 minutes. Let's see if our
we
folks.
We have to baptize you now.
We always like to ask people at the end of the show about a performance mishap, something embarrassing that happened on stage. Heather, why don't we start with you if you have one at the ready? Otherwise, we can go to Luca. If you have a tale to tell of...
I do.
It looks like she has
okay.
one. Yeah.
I have many.
Okay.
But this was the worst one. When I was doing Gypsy on Broadway with Bernadette Peters, we had a sub drummer for the first time, and I was playing Tessitura, one of the strippers, and so the drumming is very important to get the strip hits right. And he was so loud. There was a part where the actual drummer came up on stage and was playing on stage, not in the pit. And because he was a sub, he didn't know, you know, how loud it should be. And he was so loud that we couldn't hear the lines that we were, you know, speaking to each other. And so I had an exit and then another re-entrance. And on my exit, I went to tell him that he was too loud. And in doing so, I completely forgot that I had another scene. And I was standing in the wing next to the stage manager watching the scene I was supposed to be in. And the light bulb did not go
didn't
off.
Make that
I'm thinking,
connection.
Wow, I've never seen this scene before.
Wow.
And then
seems like it's missing something.
Bernadette and Tammy Blanchard were out there, and Brooks Eshmanskas, who starts yelling, Tessie, where are you? And finally, I caught his eye, and he was motioning me to come on stage, and then I realized, oh my God, I'm supposed to be out there.
I'm in this scene.
Yes.
Oh God,
so that was my biggest faux pas.
Wow, that was pretty big.
It was a big one.
Oh, man.
Everyone was very kind. Bernadette, you know, was very gracious. So.
Luca, you got a minute
and a
half. What do you got?
No reprimand.
You know, I don't really have a story that could top that. Nothing really mishaps. There was a, you know, this is always a fear for any singer, is someone sabotaging your sound. That is the worst thing that could ever happen. That happened to me once at Tao at the Venetian in Vegas. I was singing for Tony Bennett at a fundraiser, and this guy, a Vegas entertainer, whose name is too insignificant for me to remember, He literally went over to the sound guy, and my sound just plummeted. I could barely hear myself. I was doing two songs. Anyway, that was.
Oh my God!
Why would
really
you?
I never
heard,
you know, envy.
Of that.
I don't know.
Just is that actually something that is known to happen? People come in, and people are that
absolutely
insidious to go
vindictive. Yeah, they do vindictive things.
Oh man!
Like that. Yeah, but just envy.
Because yeah, jealousy. Once you're starting, what are you supposed to do about it?
Well,
once you're up there,
that's the thing. You can't really do much, you know, especially if you have a limited time, a window of time.
But, oh man!
But yeah, nothing really embarrassing. I've done a couple of, you know, productions. I'm really more of a jazz singer who's kind of found a certain niche that I could use in theater. Wow. But other than that, that's
well,
my...
Well, just wait. We might have a mishap.
That's
for
right.
Oh,
yeah. So you'll have to come back.
Saboteur!
Come back and tell us about it.
It has been a pleasure having both of you here. We hope you had as much fun as we do.
Great.
We did. Thank you.
Good.
You
know,
you're so welcome.
Really wonderful. Sounds great.
Paul, you have got to see the show. You've got time.
I will. I should. I love the period. I'm Italian, so I'm all into the whole Sinatra aspect of things.
It's a must.
And
it's
just
fun.
And
it is.
You don't have to think.
No, and which I'm good at.
I can't tell.
Which is I'm good at not thinking. It's actually one of my strong points, if you ask my wife. That and diction, as you can tell,
yes,
two of my strong
indeed,
points.
Indeed.
So
thank you for joining us, and have a fantastic show this evening and the rest of the weekend.
Thank
and
you.
You'll
happy
come back
holidays.
And see us in the
same
future.
To you.
Absolutely, would love to.
And all right, Paul, thank you, sir. Always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure, and we'll see you next week.
All right.
You're listening to State of the Art with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.